Well, we've been in a series about healing called that we called Jesus Our Healer, and about physical healing for the body. If you missed those messages, you can go back and listen to them. They're all available on the website, on our podcast, on YouTube. Obviously, we can't recap everything, but we will recap some and get us on the same page so we can go forward together. Let's look at Acts 10, verse 34. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.'" Verse 38, there's a lot here, and we've spent a lot of time talking about different aspects of this, but briefly it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. So Jesus went about doing good. And part of that good was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So whatever we see Jesus doing is the will of the Father. In other words, God's not got one agenda. Jesus is God, but God the Son doesn't have another agenda. If you want to know the will of God, look at Jesus. He is the will of God in action. And so we need to know that, because when we look at what Jesus was doing, it says he was doing good. So he wasn't doing evil. He wasn't doing things that hurt people. He was doing good, and part of that good he was doing, it says doing good and healing. So healing is good. We all agree on that? How many of you like to be sick? How many of you like to have your body hurt? Okay, so healing is a good thing. You know, you think, well, that goes without saying. Well, there are segments of Christianity that will tell you that God will afflict you with sickness. And kind of this idea, well, I mean, we don't understand it, but in the end, it's good. It's not good. You don't have to complicate it. It's not good. You need help to misunderstand that. Somebody's got to, because a child would understand sickness is bad. It hurts. You don't want to see anybody that you love sick. It steals. It's bad. So let's not get religious and twist it and somehow make it good. That's abusive. You understand? I mean, there's people that be like, they're doing something wrong to somebody. Well, that's for your own good. No, they're manipulating the person. God's not a manipulator. He's good. Let's just call it good. Healing is good. So sickness is bad. Let's just make it really clear. And so Jesus went about doing good and healing. So healing is good. That's part of the good. And so when we see Jesus doing that, we know the will of God is healing. It's good. If we just got that straight, we'd be so far ahead of a lot of understanding. Because some people in the world, because of religious teaching, man-made ideas instead of Bible, the Bible truth, it gets people confused. They don't know if God's on their side or if God's going to, you never know. It's like this idea, never know what God's going to do. You know, I mean, you love him, you do everything, but he might kill you with cancer. That's not true. That's not true. Amen. That's not the Bible. That's not true. It says, go ahead and put that up. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So there is a devil. Not everything that's happening is God. Just look around. All the destruction in the world, that's not God. God's not orchestrating everything. He's not up there like a marionette, just pull a puppet master pulling these things. Strings and just making all good, bad, ugly. It's all God. No, there is a devil. There is a Satan. There is one who opposes God. And here it says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So Jesus was healing, doing good, people that were oppressed by the devil. So the devil, Satan, was doing the bad stuff. He's the author of the bad. He's the author of sickness. So now we got God. His will is good. Jesus, the will of God in action on the earth, going about doing good and healing the bad stuff that the devil's trying to do. It says, for God was with him. So we spent a lot of time there, but that's just, you know, basic. We get that. If we get that down, God's good, Satan's bad, just light years ahead of a lot of Christianity. Because people are confused about it. They don't know. And then some people think that God and the devil are working together. You know, like, well, you know, you go take them out. They did something bad. No, that, you know, God's dealing, you know, working with the devil. That's not true. Satan hates God. He is the enemy of God. Satan hates God's people, and he is the author of destruction. So we went over a lot of that. Let's read. We're reading some scriptures we've read before, but it won't hurt us to read them. Isaiah 53:4-5. It says, surely he has borne a grief. Now this is prophesying in Isaiah about Jesus who would come, the Messiah who would come. And it says, surely he, the one that would come, Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We're going to see those words more clearly in a minute. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. In the Amplified Classic, it brings this out a little more clearly, and we read a number of translations before. Surely he has borne our griefs, which literally means sicknesses, our weaknesses, our distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains. It literally means pain. So when you see griefs and sorrows, that's sicknesses and punishment. It's saying the Messiah, Jesus, was going to deal with those things. He was going to take care of them, our sicknesses and pains. Then later, we're not going to take time to read it. Later in that same chapter, in Isaiah 53:11-12, it talks using these same words, to bear and to carry, the way it said with sickness and sorrow, it uses those same words concerning iniquity and sin. So the same way Jesus took and carried our iniquity and sin is the same way he took our sickness. It's literally in the same chapter. So the same way he dealt with one is the same way he dealt with the other. And if we believe that he took and dealt with our sin, then it's just as easy to believe he dealt with sickness. It's in the same package. So we don't, if one's part of the package, the other's part of the package. We can't relegate one to something that's passed away. Well, then he dealing with sin would have passed away too. We read Psalm 103:1, literally in the same verse. In verse 3, it says, but starting in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. That's what he does. He heals and he forgives both. That's what God does. So healing is part of what the Messiah came to do, what Jesus came to do. Matthew 8:16. In 17, then, this is Jesus on the earth, and this is looking back to what we just read in Isaiah. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This is literally Jesus healing people physically, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Looking back to what we just read, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So Matthew, the Holy Spirit through Matthew, is writing here that Jesus was healing people, and he said this was to fulfill what Isaiah was talking about, that he, the Messiah, would take our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. So he's saying this is literally the fulfillment. So in case there was any question that that's what Isaiah was talking about, he's saying Jesus was going about doing this. The Holy Spirit makes it very clear, and it says our sicknesses. And he's pointing to people that are being healed of physical sickness. So that's what that means. And then, so that is taken care of in what Jesus did. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness." This is again referring back to Isaiah, "by whose stripes you were healed." Those stripes, those blows that cut in, Jesus bore that physical beating. I mean, it wasn't just a beating. It ripped his flesh apart. He paid the price for our bodies to be well. Amen. These bodies that we live in, said this before, going to say it again, more clear to me than it ever has been, these bodies that we dwell in here on the earth, they're temporary bodies, they are just advanced machines. They're organic. We say, well, machines are mechanical. That's not true. This is a machine. It's just organic. That means, carbon and all types of things. Goes back to dirt. It's not metal and iron, but it's still a machine. I mean, and your spirit, the part of you that's animating that, that's in it, as soon as the spirit's gone, the machine's lifeless. And we don't associate those two, because it's like we think metal, we think man-made, but no, God designed this thing. And as long as a human spirit's in it, it works. But you take the human spirit, it's like pulling the plug on a on something mechanical. Just, it's lifeless. And you can see it. When the spirit goes out of somebody, you see, a deceased person. It's still, there's no life to it. But you can see that when you see the life in it, it's animated, it's moving. But as soon as that life's gone, it's still. That's because the person running the machine's gone. This isn't us. I just have this picture. You see, you could use cars for an example, but I'm thinking if you think of kind of more humanoid type of things, where if we, like big robots, if we were in there, I think of the stuff like things that I've seen before, animated series or whatever, if a person is in there driving the robot, so you can see the person kind of in the head, and let's say it's a real big robot, and you see the robot on the outside, but you see the person in there driving it, you could have all different types of robots and all different types of styles and whatever, but that's not the person that's moving it. The person's up there in the control center moving the thing, but you got all these robots around, and you wouldn't think, wow, I mean, That's a really cool exterior. That's them. You say, no, that's just the machine. The person's up there moving the controls. And you could actually swap out people in that case. You're not judging the person by that external or whatever. You're seeing the person's up there, but this external thing is not them. And as soon as they leave or somebody's not in the control booth, that thing's lifeless. That's the way this machine is. You see people, and they come on all different shapes and sizes and everything. That's just the machine that they're operating in. And it's based a whole lot on who our parents were. You know what I'm saying? You got a model based on where you came from. Now, what you do with that model, you can buy a car and you can, let it go to pot, or you can take care of it. But here's the thing, you don't get to go down, whereas a car, you can go down to the dealer and pick out exactly what you want. Not so with our bodies. It was dealt with to us. We showed up and that's done. That decision, it wasn't a decision, it's over. Your parents were and are, we have genetics and think we have everything figured out. We have some things figured out, as a mankind, but God created that whole thing. You got two people that come together, and depending on, all their genetics, children come out and they look a certain way. Well, that's just your body. That's not you. That's not me. We deal with it. We're like, well, that's them. That's your machine that you're walking around in. If we'll separate, this is going to help us so much in dealing with the subject of healing, because we sometimes make it more than it is. Instead of realizing that this is your earth suit. You need one of them to get around. And God wants it to work. It's not his will that your suit be broken down. He wants it to work. That's it. And he paid the price so that it would work. And so if we know that, then we can go and say, God, well, you paid for that in the same way you paid for me to be right with you for sin. You paid the price for sickness. That we call it sickness and disease. It's your body breaking down. It's your machine not working. It needs to be fixed. Don't have any problem going down and getting your car fixed. Needs to work. Something's wrong with it. We'll go get it fixed. But, you know, people with the body, they're like, well, I don't know. Is God doing something there? What did he, you know, did he mess with your car? Like, oh, my car broke down. Well, that's God teaching me something. Or you put off the oil change too long and the thing broke down. It's not God's doing everything. It's a machine. Well, some certain things, that applies to our body too. God take care of it. Not all God one way or another, but it's not God's will that your body doesn't work. That would be dumb. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, except I'm going to cripple your machine. That's not God. So, Jesus paid the price for us to be well. So we talked about when we approach these things, we need to know, like what we are speaking from the Bible this morning, it's truth going forward. Which if we haven't seen that truth, we won't have the perspective that the Bible teaches concerning these things. If we don't have that perspective, we may think wrong concerning whatever, but concerning healing. So the Word of God, we need to look at the Word of God so we have the right perspective, so we can approach these things correctly, so we can have what God wants us to have. And we read, let's read Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith, believing, having confidence, it's the substance of things hoped or expected. In other words, what you expect is based on what you believe. What you believe is basically what your confidence is in. It means persuasion, it means confidence, it means belief. What are we confident about concerning the things of God? It's because of what we look at and what we've perceived as truth. And then that affects what we expect. And so, faith is not some mystical thing. It is basically being convinced. When we talk about faith in God, it's being convinced of things concerning God. So how do we have faith for the things of God? Look at Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the NLT, it says it this way. So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. Now, right here, in context, this is just got done saying, Romans 10:9-10, talking about if you declare Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13, for anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then it talks about that how are people going to hear? How are they going to believe unless they've heard? How are they going to hear unless somebody's sent? And so then it says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the NLT says, so faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. So in context, it's talking about hearing about Jesus. How are you going to believe on Jesus unless somebody told you? Okay, well, this applies to everything. How are we going to believe anything concerning God unless we've heard? How do you hear? You hear the word of God concerning that subject. Hear the good news about Christ. Well, here we're talking about healing. How are we going to know about healing or believe anything about healing unless we hear? We can't. So we're going to believe whatever we have heard. Growing up, throughout our life, whatever just sources in the world tells us, maybe sources tell us about God, You don't judge God based on what some human told you about God. You go to the Word of God, His, what He revealed about Himself, and then you understand God based on His Word. There's a, you know, there's a whole lot of wrong information in the world concerning God and concerning Christianity and concerning the things of God and all these things. And people over millennia, thousands of years, have just made up stuff and said, well, this is what we believe and this is the way God is, or this is how you relate to Him, or there's many gods, or there's no God, or whatever. And it doesn't matter if people have believed it for hundreds or thousands of years. If it was wrong to begin with, it's still wrong. Well, that religion's been around for 1,000 years. So what? Something can start off wrong and still be wrong. That has nothing to do with anything. Like we were just talking about it. Looking at certain things in certain parts of the world and real, and like these people have been believing this for years. That's their whole, that's what they believe. And it is contrary to the Word of God. They just pass it down, pass it down, pass it down, pass it down. How is that going to break? The Word of God coming, the truth, not some man's ideas, not just another book of ideas, but the revealed Word of God from God to man. Jesus came, the Son of God showed up on the earth and said, I am. He is the Christ. I am the Christ. I am the one. He revealed Himself as the Christ, as the one that had come to be the sacrifice for man's sin, to make people, as they believe, right with God. He came to earth and revealed and pointed to all the revealed, the written Word of God as truth. And so this is not just somebody's opinion. And the crux of everything hinges on the resurrection. If Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead, then everything else we believe is futile, is wrong. But He did raise from the dead. People saw Him over and over. And so, otherwise, He's dead in the tomb just like everybody else, but He's not. He did exactly what He said He was going to do. He arose and He appeared to people. And so, we can go then to the Word of God, the revealed truth of Almighty God to mankind, to determine what God says about any matter. Faith is being confident, is having, being convinced of, being persuaded of something. We talk about faith in God concerning God. Well, how are we going to get convinced, persuaded, confident about something concerning God? We need to hear what God says. You can't go by what somebody, one person says. You can come to God, if they're quoting the Word, then you can believe on that, but you can't just go by what somebody said about God. We need to know what God said. That's what's going to change us. That's what's going to give us confidence. So if we're talking, this applies to any area, but as we're talking about healing, the way that faith is going to come, that believing is going to come, that confidence is going to come, that perspective changing is going to come, is going to be by the Word of God. To see what the Word of God says, to see what the Bible, so that truth can come, so that faith can come, so that confidence, so it's not, I'm trying to reach out for this thing that's way out there, and I don't know. I mean, we're trying. We're throwing up prayers. We're trying to get healed or trying to get something to where we see what the Word of God says and come to the point where it's like, oh, this is truth. Okay, I see what to do. I see what God says. Then the confusion goes away. The darkness, the cloud, you know, like we drove here this morning. I don't know about when you guys came. I don't know what it was later. But when I drove here this morning, it was foggy. Is it still foggy? I mean, it was foggier than I've seen it in a while in the morning. And you can only see so far. I mean, on a clear day coming this way into Andover, down that hill, you can see a long ways that way. because, you know, it's a hill. You can see way, but I could hardly see the car in front of me because it was so thick. And see, sometimes that's the way it is with God. People are like, they've had, all these different ideas come hit people when they're just barely growing up, and maybe different religious experiences and different things people said about God, or maybe they read a book and it had an idea and it related to God, and some teacher said something about God, and they saw some movie and something, and so we patched this thing together about this picture of God, and it's kind of like, don't really have anything solid, kind of, he's out there, I don't know, but it's like a fog. You don't really know, he's out there, can't really see, but how do you know? How do you clear that up? People talk about any given area, people have opinions about stuff. We shouldn't have opinions about what God is or is not like. We should go to the Bible to know the truth. And somebody gives you, well, I think it's like this. I ought to throw that away. We ought to ask, what does the Bible say? Because the Bible is going to give us actual confidence and faith. What somebody said about it, as well-meaning as they may be, is not going to bring faith. Now, if it's quoting the Word, it will bring faith. That's what we heard. I mean, that's what we read earlier. Romans 10:17 said, faith comes by hearing. Well, that means somebody, either we're hearing it from somebody, we're reading it, we're hearing a recording, but it's coming through a vessel. It's coming through somebody. But what is it? It's the Word of God. It's not an opinion. Not so what somebody thinks about it. Well, I just think this. When we hear that, we ought to just flush it and go, that's fine. What does the Bible say? And whenever you hear, no matter who it is, saying something concerning God, concerning things of faith, our question ought to be, where are the Bible verses that support what you're saying? If we can't point to Bible verses, we ought not to say it. I'm talking about things concerning God. So the way we're going to change how we see is by the Word of God. It's not a magic thing. Like, it's not like, well, I'm going to try real hard now to believe. That, see, if you understand what we're saying right now, that doesn't make any sense. You don't try to believe. You get the truth so that then you can act on that faith that comes by seeing the truth. You're not trying. It'd be like trying to look through the fog. It's like, no, the fog needs to clear. How does the fog clear in this way? You need to see the truth so that you can see what God's actually saying. Then the confusion dissipates. Now I can see clearly. And when somebody else tries to say, well, this is what God's saying, you go, well, that's not. See, if there's fog and somebody's going, well, there's all this behind there, and you know, and you're like, well, I can't see it, so I can't verify that. I don't know. Maybe you're telling the truth. Maybe it's not. But when it's a sunny day, they're telling you, well, this and this is going on. You're like, I can see with my eyes. That's not true. Or that is true. What is that clarity? That's the Word of God. Somebody tells you something. You're like, no, I can see this scripture, this scripture, this scripture. You're wrong. Yeah. Or you're right. Do I determine what we believe based on who said it? No. Well, so-and-so is talking, and I know everything they say is right, so I just digest it. That's a wrong attitude. I don't care if it's me. I don't care who it is. We ought to be putting what people say up against the Word of God to determine if what they're saying is right. If we ever go into autopilot that now this person says everything right, we will get in the error of following a person, and we will, any place that person has a blind spot or is not following the Word of God, we will make the same mistakes. But as long as we'll stay to the Word of God and just look at the Word of God, and I don't care who's speaking, who's telling us, what does the Word of God say? We'll stay out of error. We'll stay out of the ditch. We'll be able to say, well, that's interesting, but here's what the Word of God says. See, that you can have faith. I can have faith on that. So concerning healing, like, any, again, what we're saying here has, it has application with any subject, but concerning healing, how are we going to change our perspective concerning healing It's looking at the Word of God on what it says concerning healing. Again, not my opinion, not somebody else's opinion, what the Word of God says. Psalm 119, 130, it says, the entrance of your word gives light. Entrance of your word, like we were talking about the fog, the entrance of your word, it clears things away. You can't see beforehand, but the entrance of God's word, it clears things up. And now things I couldn't see, things that I tried to see, and I was just a muddled mess because of all the inputs I've had over the year, I see the word of God, all of a sudden that light shines. You know, when the sun comes out and the clouds dissipate, you can see things so clear. That abundance of light allows you to see in a way you can't see when there's fog, when it's dark. You just can't see. And that's the way when we go through this earth, all these ideas and stuff is that muddled mess of darkness. And that's the way a lot of people are walking through life. And definitely people without God. So when people without God are saying, this is the way it is, that'd be like people in the dark saying, this is the way to go. They don't know. But when we see the word, that abundance of light now makes everything so clear that we can walk forward. Well, concerning healing, when we look at the word concerning healing, that's going to change us. It's not something you snap your fingers and go, okay, I'm going to try to do something to make something happen in my body. What we're after is the word coming in with light concerning healing so that we, faith comes so that we can believe God and receive what he wants us to have anyway. That's the process. That's the way we're going to receive from him. So let's look at Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Notice verse 22, it says, God's words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. What's your flesh? Your body. Look at the Amplified Classic. It says, verse 22, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. In the NIV, it says, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. In the Jubilee Bible, it says, for they are life unto those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. God's word are medicine, or God's words are medicine. God's words are life. God's words coming in to us will allow us to see, but those words penetrate our heart, if we'll be open, if we'll let them, our heart, not our physical blood pump, that's part of our body. We're talking about our spirit, man, the real us. We are, people are three parts. They are a spirit. They have a soul, mind, will, emotions, and then you live in a body. The Word of God penetrates your heart, your spirit, that's where faith comes, and that will transform the way we see things, but also the Word of God itself is living and powerful. And so as we look to the Word, if we let the Word come into us, it is medicine to us. So if we have something in our physical body, we need to get God's Word on it so we can see how to approach it clearly. And that word of God is power, is life to our body. The word of God is different than anything else. When we look at the word of God, it is alive. It's not like just any book. You know, you can read a book that's written by people, read it once, and well, that's good enough. I got that, and I got the information in there. I'm not saying you couldn't learn from it again looking at it. But the Word of God, you can read it every day of your life. You can read it throughout every moment of every day. You can read the same verse over and over, and you will continually get life out of it. Amen. Why? It's supernatural. It's alive. It's not human. It's not natural. It is supernatural. It is life. Can you skip down to... No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I am. All right. Look at Hebrews 4:12. Skip down there and we'll come back up. Hebrews 4:12. Then we'll come back up to where we were. It says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Beginning of that verse says, for the word of God is living and powerful. It's not just words. When we breathe the word of God, it's anointed. What does that mean? God breathed. God on. Anointed is literally a word that means to pour over oil. They poured over oil in the Old Testament to anoint individuals. When we talk about something being anointed, that's not a religious term. That's the Spirit of God coming is on something. That means when you speak the Word of God, it's not just words, it's the Spirit of God on it. When you hear preaching and teaching, that is what we would say anointed. That means God's on it. That means it's not just human words, human people, or humans just speaking words and moving the air. It is God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, on it, doing some speaking to us spirit to spirit. Well, when we read the Word of God, it's the Word of God itself is anointed, it's powerful, it's living. So when we read it, it goes into us, it changes us if we're open. And here's the thing. We need to just put ourselves in the position to be changed. Read the Word. Let the Word come forth and hear, and so that we hear it. It's not that is the effort. Then we choose whether to believe it or not. But the effort is put ourselves in a position to hear it. Because the Word of God will change us if we'll be open. You don't try to be changed real hard. We put the Word of God in us, and that Word of God is living and powerful. It'll help us. Light will flood. It'll help us to see, and it is powerful. It's like, I don't do this. But, there's such a thing called tanning beds. Not knocking it if you tan, whatever. I have done that years and decades ago. But, not a lot, but I have been in one. Before, but a tanning bed, or let's just say being out in the sun, you don't have to try for the sun or the tanning bed to do something to you. Now, you can take precautions. I mean, if you're going to do that, depending on your complexion, you may have to take precautions so that you don't turn, look like a lobster when you get out of the sun or come. Some people just tan and they don't do anything. Like, well, I don't know why you have to do that. I just look bronze when I come out. That's great. Again, that's your machine. Just came out with skin that's bronze like that. Not everybody got that. Not everybody got that model. So we all are different. So you don't try real hard. No, it's like, well, what's the effort? Get in the sun. Or some people go tanning bed, whatever. It's you putting yourself under that light, and then it's doing the job. What is the person doing while that's going on generally? I mean, they could be doing another activity, but if their sole purpose is just to be in the sun and be still, they're just like this. They're not doing anything. The sun is doing something. The light is doing something. Well, that's like the Word of God. We put ourselves in that light. We bring it in. It's doing. It's changing. Now, we can say, I don't want. I mean, you could get into the I mean, you can go in the sun and make sure you're covered and you don't want any of the sun, you know? So you're covered. You got lots of SPF on, you know, sunscreen with high SPF and all that. So you're trying to not let it in. But if we're open, like with the Word of God, and we're open, we have an open heart, and we bring it in, it's going to change us. That's how. You're not trying real hard. We are putting ourselves in the light. We are bringing the Word of God in. It is powerful. It is living. And it is medicine to us. It is literally medicine to our bodies. Let's go back to, skip back up to Proverbs 4 verse, let's look at it in the Jubilee verse, Proverbs 4:22. It says, his words, they are life unto those who find them and medicine to all their flesh. So God's words are medicine. If we are dealing with something in our body, we want to know, if we want to understand things concerning healing, we need to go. I'm talking about from a spiritual aspect, from the Bible. We need to go and put God's words into us. That is medicine to us. Now, we're not saying anything about natural medicine. We're going to touch on those things. Not saying it's not either or, but we're talking about getting the perspective of God's word is going to be medicine to us, regardless of anything else. It does something when you put it in. And this is key. We see, we don't treat it like this magic wand, like hocus pocus. Hey, I need healing for my body. Just throw up a prayer and let's do it. Let's get it done. No. We go to God based on truth. How do you know truth? It's based on what he said. That, when we're convinced of what he said, that's faith. How do you get faith? You look at his word, and you put his word into us, and so then we can actually get what he wants us to have. But it's not like, hey, let's get this thing out of my body so I can get back to doing whatever else it is in my life that may not have anything to do with God. See, that's trying to put the cart before the horse. That's like, I don't really want God. I don't really want his truth. I don't really want to know what he says. I just really want my machine fixed so I can get back to doing my own thing. And that'll never work as it should. And people will come and say, well, come on, go to prayer lines, go to people and say, just fix me. They won't say it like this, but I just want to get over this. Pray for me. Oh, it didn't work. Pray for me. Oh, it didn't work. Wait. What are we doing here? Do we want to know what God's word said? Do we want to know him? Do we want to know the truth? Do we want to know what he said so that then we can receive what he said? Or are we just trying to get over a hump so we can just go about our life? Because his word is living and powerful, and that's the way we're going to see how to go forward. We're going to understand how to go forward. Jesus operated this way. People came to him, they heard something first when they came to him. Look at, let's go ahead. Let's look at Matthew. Now let's go to Luke, just that next verse, and then we'll come back to Matthew, I believe. But Luke 5:15, just skip down one verse. It says, however, the report went about concerning him all the more, Jesus, and great multitudes came together to hear. Everybody say to hear. And be healed by him of their infirmities. So they came to hear something and to be healed. But they heard something. They heard him speak, which, why, you know, they must have heard something to begin with, which is why they're here hearing. Because they probably heard somebody else got healed or got some result. And so they're coming, well, I want to hear. I want what they have. But notice it just didn't happen in a vacuum. They came to hear. They heard the word of God. Well, you know, sometimes we're just in a hurry. Yeah, this is not to condemn us or be like, oh, yeah, I know. I'm saying as a society, what we got to understand and just be aware of is the world, we know, it wants things really fast. Just let's get it done so I can get on my way and what? So I can get on with my life. What is that? What are we doing? Like, what are people doing when I want to get on with my life? But we were created by God to worship Him, to walk with Him. We got to get on with our life doing what? And when we come to Him and we have an issue with our body's important, right? I mean, people will do all kinds of stuff, and when something happens to their body, they'll stop everything and be like, well, I got to get this fixed. It puts things in perspective real quick when something's wrong with your body. Things you take for granted to do. When you have a pain somewhere, something's not working, you realize, man, it's a blessing just to be able to do that all the time with no pain and no nothing. I mean, that's just, you know what I'm talking about? Your body is very important. And so when we're talking about, well, I'm out doing, what are we doing? And in this day and age, it's real easy to just people and perspectives in life, it's easy for that to get into us concerning everything. That's just like it's something to be lauded that we just go fast and get stuff done. But with God, He's not in a hurry. He's been around forever. And you know what? We're going to be around forever. From now on, we haven't been around forever. I mean, I wasn't here 1,000 years ago. You weren't. But we're here now. I'm not saying we're going to live on earth forever, but we're going to exist forever. Our body isn't going to exist forever, not in this form, thank God. It's just not built for that. We'll get a new body. Not like this one, better than this one, but we're going to live forever. So if we're talking about these things, healing for the body, well, we're talking to the one that knows everything. God knows everything, and He has a way, and He wants us to be well. So we ought to incline our ears to what He's saying. What He says, He knows the answer. You know, before anybody, you ask anybody anything, God knows exactly how to fix everything. He designed the body. He can do anything. He knows exactly what needs to happen. And so if we'll incline our ear to Him, say, God, first thing is I need to hear You. I need to hear what Your Word says, and then I need to know by Your Spirit, what do I need to do? How do I go forward? Not just get this done. I don't care what happens. Get me done and move on. You know, quick fixes can mess you up. In every area. Every area, quick fixes can mess a person up. When we're in a hurry, doesn't matter if it's a business, doesn't matter if it's physically, doesn't matter if it's a relationship, doesn't matter if it's money. People try to do stuff fast and they mess long-term up. We ought to be careful about being in a hurry just to get something. Ought to be looking at what's the end game? What am I really doing? Well, we ought to know what does He say? Lord, what should I do? How should I go forward? What does Your Word actually say? If I don't know, it's like, I don't really, you know, some people have the attitude sometimes, again, none of this is condemnation. If some of this applies, what we need to do, see, light comes, and then we say, well, I don't want anything to do with that. I want to line up with the Word of God. So we need to just get rid of it in our life and ask God to help us and say, wait, that has infiltrated the way I think, the way the world thinks. That is affecting me. So then we change. But we ought to go to God and say, God, I need to know what you say on this. Show me. Help me. I want You. Not just, hey, I just fix me. Go and pray for me and let's just get it done. No, we need to go and say, God, I want to know what You say. I want Your truth. Show me. Is there something that I'm doing? Like, I want to be healed. Okay. What if I'm doing something over and over that's causing that to happen and I get healed, but then it just comes right back because I'm doing something? Wouldn't I want to know that? Isn't that the greater wisdom? Hey, that'll heal on its own. If you stop doing this, you won't have it again, but you do it, band-aiding it is not going to, or me band-aiding it, I would want to know that. That's wisdom. Well, if I'm in a hurry, just like make it stop. What if I'm causing it? I'm not saying in every case. I'm just saying there's, God knows that. God knows exactly what needs to happen in every case. He's God. So if we go to him and say, incline our ear to him, and what does your word say? What would you have me to do? We're putting ourselves in a position for us to be changed, for that word to change us, for us to see clearly so we can move forward and not go through the same things necessarily over. I'm not saying every case is like that, but the point is God knows. And his truth isn't just for 2026. It's always been. And the truth that we are reading about 2,000 years ago applies now. And it applied 200 years ago. You know, when people were bumbling around in the dark ages 600 years ago, you realize the word of God was just as powerful then as it is now, and just as powerful in Jesus' day as it in Jesus' day as it was then. But people just were walking what? In darkness. Well, the degree that we're walking in darkness, that's the degree we're not going to be partaking of what he said. But then when light comes, we can start moving in a different place. Well, how does that come? We're going to look to his word. That means we're going to be like, God, all right, I'm going to see what you say. His words are medicine to us. Jesus spoke something to the people. They heard something and enabled something to change them. Look at Matthew 9:35. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 9:35 says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Notice what he did. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Notice he went about teaching and preaching, and then it says he was healing. So the word of God was going forth. He's walking and he's speaking the truth. He's saying who he is, that he is the answer, that he is anointed, that God is working through him. But people came and they heard the word and they were healed. Well, it's the same today. We hear the word of God to the degree that we'll get the word of God in that. Again, this applies in every area. If we have an issue in any area, if we hear the word of God concerning it, that will be the true answer. That will be the lasting answer. That will get to the root of the issue. And I'm not saying it has to take forever. On the other hand, if we're more concerned with just getting a result, even if it's short-term, and not truly looking at what, God, what do you have to say? Show me, lead me. We may just get something that's short-term. And we have to ask ourselves, what am I in a hurry to get to? Where am I going? Well, I got to get back going. Well, maybe sometimes, how did I get here? Where am I? What am I doing? So as we go and just put the word, listen to the word, that word will start doing that work, just like the sun will. It's like that tanning bed will. It'll start doing that work. We open ourselves up. That word's coming into us. That word concerning healing, we start seeing things. That word goes into our heart, starts illuminating our mind. We start seeing, oh, that's what the word of God said. Then it's not, trying to believe. Oh, it's like, well, no, this is what God did. This is what he said. This is on solid ground. This isn't me trying to grasp something because I really don't know, because it's a fog and I'm acting like there's not a fog and I'm just throwing, trying to get stuff through, and I get to where I'm solid. Why? Because the word of God came in and shined a light, and I let his word change how I see and direct me and guide me. And so I'm on solid ground. So when things that used to just knock me off, I'm trying and knock me off, I just can't get it. We say, wait a minute, I don't have to get it. God already did it. And he did it for me. And I see now, it's not that I'm grasping, I'm solid because I know what he said. I'm not going by little glimpses and glimmers and fragments of just things that people have said. I just really don't know, but I'm trying, and oh, that sounds good, and I'll try what you did, and I'll try what you did, and I'm just going around to where we know what he said. And it dissipates. Well, his word, we attend to his word. We incline our ears to his word. That word is literally medicine to our flesh, but that word coming in is powerful. It'll change us. Just, it's like washing over and over. It starts to change how we see, to where we don't even recognize. We can't even relate to the way we used to think about certain things, including healing. We start with, wow, that's why that wasn't working, because I'm just trying this fragment, and now I see what he said, and I know what he said, and I'm not going based on what somebody else said he said, or some fragment of somebody's opinion. I say, no, it says this, and it says this, and it says this. Therefore, my body, my machine, has got to line up with that. It's not a hocus pocus magical thing. It's like, I know this is God's will. I don't have any doubt about it. I don't have any question. I don't think he's trying to hurt me. I don't think he's backhanded trying to teach me something. I know what he wants. When I'm solid, there's light. Something tries to convince, some opinion tries to come in and go, no, there's this behind that. It's like, I can see it very clearly. That's a lie. I won't be pushed off by that. Amen.